Genesis chapter 1. And if you're wondering if I've ever come through that door, 40 years ago, I know I don't look like a fossil, or maybe you think I do, but 40 years ago, I entered that door. It's wonderful to be on the inside. Wonderful. I was in my bedroom in the attic of our house in Charlottetown. When I entered that door, I was all alone. I didn't have anyone telling me to do this or to say that. Just all by my lonesome. In the attic bedroom, with my open Bible on my knees at my bed, I came through that door. I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. The door is Christ. And I entered. And once you're in, you can never be lost. You're saved forever. It's wonderful. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the bedroom." With my open Bible on my knees at my bed, I came through that door. I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. The door is Christ. And I entered. And once you're in, you can never be lost. You're saved forever. It's wonderful. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth," and so on. In other words, when God made man, he had a major role for man to play. Man was made for significance. Man was made in the image of God. The very imprint of God was put upon the human race. So we're going to talk about that for a little bit. But before we do, I want you to turn over to the New Testament to a well-known Bible story, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke 15, and it is a story of the prodigal son. A son, a father had great things in store for this son. This son had a life of significance to live. But he took his own way, and we're going to read about him. Luke 15 and verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said," you can almost see him thinking about home. "Why am I living in this mess? Why am I living such a low life?" And he's mulling it all over in his mind. And that's where you get to just in verse 17. He's thinking to himself, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? I perish with hunger. Here I am. I am the Father's Son, not just a hired servant. And they're enjoying life. And I am perishing with hunger. I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. In other words, it wasn't just the father's door was open, a wide open door. Come home, son, anytime. It wasn't just a door that was open. The father's arms were opened, just waiting to receive this long-lost boy. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and shoes in his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf. Kill it, let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now, I am found. I've been found. That's what I was telling you. But 40 years ago, I was found. I once was lost. But 40 years ago, I was found. And in the meeting tonight, you are either still lost to God, or you've been found. What are you? Lost or found? Anyone who has been found has a precious, personal, precise moment in their life when they were found. And they were brought in out of the cold of sin and brought through that door into the light of all the blessings that God has for them. Do you have a moment when you came through that door, when you were found? Or are you going to continue on living a rather low life? That's what I want you to think about, this low life. God made you different than the other animals on the planet. Like, as much as a deer, I saw two deer down the road here this morning on the way, and they're sort of graceful and everything. If they're not a pest rooting up your, taking up your garden and everything, you could actually think they're quite beautiful. They're a part of God's creation, but don't let anyone ever try to make you think that the deer's life is as valuable as your life. No, God has made you for significance. That's why we read in Genesis chapter 1. After God had made all the plant life, and he made all the animals, he made the skunks and the hippopotamuses and the giraffes. He made all of those things. After he made all of those animals, then God says, let us make man in our own image. And it says, and in the image of God created he him. And he wanted man did have dominion over all the fish of the sea, and over the deer population, and over the moose, and the kangaroos down in Australia, wherever they were at that time. Man was to have dominion over all. So don't ever bring yourself down to this level that I am no different than a cow, and I'm no different than a skunk, or a raccoon, or a gazelle, or a cheetah. No, you were designed by God, and he has actually put his imprint upon you. And in another place in the Bible, it doesn't say this about other animals. It says about human beings, he actually placed eternity in our hearts. A sense of there's more to life than just living life and doing my job. There is a sense of greatness about my life. And my life, it goes on and on and on. You don't see cows wondering about where they came from and where they're going to and what their purpose is here on the planet. You don't see them communicating like that and having an intelligent, rational discussion about those things. Human beings do, though. People toss and turn in their bed and say, is this all there is to life? The daily grind, Monday morning comes around, and is this it? Another 40 years of this? Wow! There must be something more to life. Friend, there is. There is something more to life. If you haven't found it, we're glad you're here tonight, because the Bible says the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're missing. If you just think life is about parties and friends and jobs and getting this and getting that, toys, there's infinitely more to life than that. God has made you for significance. We're not the product of some evolutionary force. No, God purposefully designed you and me so He could have a real relationship with you and me. God wants to have a relationship with you. Oh, He has a relationship with the other things that He created, because He's the Creator and they're the creation. But He actually made human beings so He could enjoy fellowship. From my heart to God's heart, there could be this fellowship between the two of us. Imagine. That's why human beings were created. So God could have fellowship and enjoyment with human beings. I guess what made me think about this, maybe you read it in the news a couple of weeks ago. There was a very, 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 very famous painting just discovered in the last month or so. It was a painting from the 1400s by Leonardo da Vinci. But it had been lost for centuries. It's only a 13 by 9 inch painting. They even had it mislabeled. Back in 1998, Peter Silversmith from Montreal was at a Christie's New York auction down there, and that little painting went up for sale, and he looked at it and he thought, there's a touch of greatness about that picture. But it says it was painted by a German from the 1900s, and it looks like it's valuable. It looks like there's something great about it, but it's not a known artist. And so he bid in the auction, and he went $15,000, $16,000, $17,000, and then he called it off. He stopped after $18,000. He wasn't going any higher than that for that painting because he wasn't sure about it. And so Kathleen Gantz, she said, I'm going $19,000. And she got it. That was in 1998. Peter Silverman was in New York City with an art collector from Europe. And they were walking down through Manhattan 11 years later. And they go into a little art store. And the European collector notices a little painting on Kathleen Gantz's desk. And although the European collector wasn't really into that kind of art, he thought there was something great about this piece of work. It was just the profile of a young maiden lady, and her hair was in a braid, and she had some kind of contraption on her head. But he looked at it and he thought, this is unique. And so he runs out to the sidewalk and he calls in Peter Silverman. And he says, come on in and look at this picture. You might be interested in it. He goes in and looks at it. He said, that's it. That's the one I missed 10 years ago. There it is for sale. I get my checkbook out. And he writes a check for $20,000. He wasn't going to miss it because he sensed there was a touch of greatness to it. To make a long story short, the forensic experts put that picture under all their technology, and they found one fingerprint on the top left-hand corner of that painting. And they said, that fingerprint, one fingerprint, matches Leonardo da Vinci's painting that's hanging in the Vatican. And that's the same fingerprint that's on another one of Leonardo's paintings somewhere else. And instantly, the art world was excited. The value of that piece of art went from $20,000
to $150 million, just like that.
Why? Because they recognize this is different than all the other artwork. This is famous. This has the thumbprint of the artist himself on it. That one thumbprint made the difference. For all those years when lost and undervalued, $20,000, $18,000, but soon as its value was known, $150 million. It's locked up in a Swiss vault. Now, because of the thumbprint of Leonardo da Vinci. You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of men and women in Sussex, New Brunswick, and in other places. And there's a touch of greatness. There's something in you that's not in the animal creation. It's so obvious. And yet, people live a low life. They don't understand that their very fingerprint, the imprint of God, has been stamped upon them. And they were designed for God's purposes and for God's glory. And they go about their lives undervaluing $18,000, a bottle of beer. I'll live my life this way. I'll get a job. I'll buy a home. I'll get a set of wheels. And meanwhile, God has designed you for eternal purposes. And you're missing out on it all. You're lost to God tonight. The world is just placing an old cheap value on you. You're just like one of us. Come on, don't get wrapped up in the gospel. Don't get concerned about these big things about heaven and hell. And whether you're inside the door or outside the door. Come on, party with us. Be one of us. That's called the low life. That's the low value that the world places on you. But as you sit in this meeting tonight, God places an infinite value in you. God, His heart is throbbing tonight. He is thrilled that you're listening to the gospel this evening. God is. And His heart is throbbing with love towards you. And thinking, maybe she, maybe he, maybe tonight she will wake up and come to her senses and come through that door. I have an infinite range of blessings for her, for him. You've already been hearing about the disastrous consequences of sin. Sin came in and wreaked havoc on the human race, cut us off from God. You say, well, I don't feel connected to God. I know other people who are, and they seem to have this great relationship. You know, that's what salvation is. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. If all you have is religion, you haven't got what it takes to get to heaven. No, so God's salvation is a relationship between Himself and the individual through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that relationship, there's not a chance that you're going to heaven tonight. Might as well settle it tonight. If you don't have that relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not on your way to heaven. Religion will not take you there. And sin came into this world and cut us off. And God's disappointment when we were marred by rebellion, we took our own way. We sinned against God. And that's why on our own, we can never be in heaven. We needed someone to die for us. And God loved you. He placed such a value in you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. Now, are you just going to keep passing Him by? You think the life that you're living is just pretty nice? God has a much higher life for you to be living. I often think of what I did to my brother's desk. My oldest brother made a desk in industrial arts, a bird's eye maple desk. And he was working in the bank and he left the desk at our home. I was still a little kid. And I looked at our hamster and I saw him in that little wire cage and I thought, oh, poor hamster stuck in this little cage. I would like to build a bigger cage for my hamster. And so I spotted my brother's bird's eye maple desk. And I said, he's not using it. And it had one of those flip-down desktops to write on. And so I got the screwdriver out and I disconnected that part of the desk, the big flat rectangle top. And I disconnected it. And I said, whoa, the bottom of the pen. And I'll build sides on it so the hamster can't get out. And I did. I got the old hammer nail and I built sides on it. And I filled it up with shavings. And I still remember to this day the fun I had of just taking the hamster to that little metal cage and dropping him into his new cage. And I thought it was wonderful that the hamster was going to live in this new cage. My brother was incensed, outraged. I don't blame him now when I look back on it. It was a bird's eye maple desk. And here, you know what hamsters do. They're not the cleanest little beasts. And this was how my brother's desktop was being used. Little wonder he tore his strip off me. But you know something? That's a faint little picture of our lives. God has designed you to have a relationship with Himself. In God's mind, you are much more than a bird's eye maple desk. He doesn't plan for you to be living a life of sin. He doesn't want you to be living out there in the world just ignoring Him. God has designed you for greatness, and He wants you to be in heaven forever. And some of you are content to live this low life, cut off from God, stained with the awful sin of this world. One thing for a hamster to stain the bird's eye maple desk with all his dirt. But think of the filth of this world staining you. And God says, I didn't want that boy to live that way. I have designed something for him. I want him to trust my son. And there's nothing that would thrill God's heart more this evening if there was someone in this meeting who realized, like the prodigal son, hey, why am I taking my own way? Why am I traveling this road down this dark, dreary, sinful road? Why am I wandering so far away from God? That prodigal son must have thought, my father had great plans for me. I must have broken my father's heart when I said, goodbye, Dad, I'm taking my fling. And I thought I had the world by the tail. And here I am, I've hit rock bottom. The bubbles all burst, and I'm empty, and I'm hungry. And not only that, I haven't just upset my dad and sinned against my dad, but I've sinned against heaven. But I'm going to go back. And that's what he did. There came a turning point in his life. Do you have a turning point in your life? When you said, enough of sin, enough of taking my own way, enough of straying, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to come to Christ. That boy came home, and sure enough, the door was open. Come on in! His father was waiting to welcome him home. And I can tell you this evening that the Father God, God the Father, is waiting and wanting to welcome you. Now, He's not going to drag you to heaven kicking and screaming against your will. He's not going to lasso you and drag you off to heaven. But oh, if in your own self-will you decided, enough of my sin, I'm going to come home. I'm going to come through that door. The warmest welcome awaits you. Did you think today that how much God loved you? Did you bow your head and think today and thank God for sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you? Do you realize the value that He places on you? Just the way you are now. His heart is still throbbing with love towards you now. Whatever condition you're in right now, He would love to save you right now.
And He has something great to offer you. Eternal life. And a home in heaven. And the absolute forgiveness of every one of your sins. Is all available this evening. Not through the gospel hall, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to enter that door and come in for safety and for salvation, God is just waiting to heap on the blessings. They're eternal in nature. God has something good in store for you. He doesn't want you to live the low life anymore. He has His imprint upon you for a reason. He designed you for a life with Him forever. Don't miss out on it. You're in great danger. Shall we pray? Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we thank Thee that the door was opened at the cross. It's a marvel that heaven wasn't barred and bolted eternally because of what we did to the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, but by virtue of His death, the door was opened wide. And the way to heaven is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those who have never entered, there are very dangerous circumstances this evening. They're exposed. They're so vulnerable. If they were to die tonight, they would never be in heaven. They would be in hell. We pray that someone this evening will enter the door, come to Christ. Part us with Thy blessing, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're just going to sing a verse of number 42. God is calling. The prodigal, come without delay. Hear, O, hear Him calling. We're just going to sing verse 3. Verse 3 of number 42, and the meeting is over.
There's bread in the house of our Father.